We're 28. The second line from the top. We started learning yesterday about a story with Rebbe Eliezer, where Rebbe Eliezer had, we said yesterday, a couple of opinions about Hilchos Sukkah. One of them being that you have to send all sukkahs in the same sukkah. You can't move from one sukkah to another. In general, we had Rebbe Eliezer says that you really shouldn't leave your hometown during any Yom Tov at all. You should be able to be every day of Yom Tov together with your wife and family. And the last thing we had was we had the idea that Rebbe Eliezer would never say anything that he hadn't learned from his teachers. So therefore, we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lali asked him about putting a sheet over the sukkah when the sun was coming in, and Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't answer him directly. So, because he hadn't heard that explicitly from his rebbein, I mentioned yesterday that everyone explained in a sicha that the difference was. I mean, we have obviously Rabbi Eliezer was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was one of the the top Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So obviously he didn't just regurgitate what he learned from his rebbeim. He obviously had independent opinions of his own. So the Rebbe mentioned a sicha, and actually I found today that the Chavetz Yoyer says a somewhat similar idea, that when it came to practical halacha, when it came to paskening halacha, he would limit himself only to what he heard from his rebbeim. But when it came to papula d'oraita, when it came to discussing theoretically, of course he would give his own opinion. I also mentioned yesterday that there was a different understanding of it, which is that this hanhaga of his to not say his own independent things, but only what he heard from his teachers, was only as long as his teachers were alive. Anyway, so Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, Maisa bar Rabbi Eliezer shashavas begolil ha'elyon, and it once happened that Rabbi Eliezer spent Shabbos in the upper Galil. Maybe this is the same story as the previous one, where we had that he was in the Galil in the sukkah of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lai, maybe not. Anyway, Ushailu Shloshim Halachas beHilchos Sukkah. They asked him 30 halachas in Hilchos Sukkah. Shtem Esther Amalahem Shamaiti. 12 of them he told them, I heard an answer from my Rebbeim, and he told them the answer. Shmaina Asa Amalahem Lo Shamaiti. The other 18, he said, I didn't hear, so he didn't answer. Rabbi Yossi Behodai Vachilopadar, Rabbi Yossi Behodai says it was the other way around. Shmaina Asa Amalahem Shamaiti. 18, he said, I heard. Shtem Esther Amalahem Lo Shamaiti. 12 of them, he said, I didn't hear. Either way, there's a substantial number that he didn't answer, and he said, I didn't hear from my rebbeim, and therefore I don't want to venture an opinion. So Amr Loi, they said to him, what called Varacha in an element of Piyashmua? So everything that you say is just Piyashmua. It's just what you heard, strictly what you heard from your rebbeim. Amr Lahem, so he answers them, he's Kaktuni Loima Dava Shalashamaitim Piyashmua. Well, now, Taki, you're forcing me to, are you going to force me to say something that I didn't hear from my rebbe? The Marashah explains, we can either understand that as a statement, now you're forcing me to say something that I didn't explicitly hear from my Rebbe, this is how my Rebbe acted, he never actually said in so many words that this is the way to do, but I learned this hanhaga from him. Or the other way, Marashah says, is you could understand as a question, you're going to force me to say something that I didn't hear, you want me to say something I didn't hear from my Rebbe, you should know this is not how I do. Miyamai like Kidmani Adama Beit HaMedrash. Nobody, it never happened in all my life that anybody came earlier than me to the Beit HaMedrash. V'lo yashanti b'Beit HaMedrash l'shenes keva v'lshenes harai. I never slept in the Beit HaMedrash, not a regular sleep and not even a nap. Which technically in Shulchan Aruch it says, I mean, you're not supposed to sleep in the Beit HaMedrash anyway, so that's not a midas chassidus. But when a person has no choice, when a person spends all his time in the Beis Medrash, then yeah, you can chap a dremel over there, you can take a nap over there, b'yevet, basically. But Rabbi Eliezer was careful even about that. See, I never left anybody in the Beis Medrash and left. In other words, I was always the last one out.
7-7
Yeah. And I never spoke sichas cholin, and I never talked casual talk in the Beis Medrash. And I never said anything in the. I never said anything that I didn't explicitly hear from my rebbeim. Which so Rashi says on this, and then some of the later Mepharshim explain in a little more detail. I mean, why is he okay? The last thing we understand why he has to mention that's negay over here. But the rest of the thing is, what is he trying to show off of what a great guy he is? No. So Rashi says the vort is, you should know, it's not because you think that. That these 12 or 18 questions that I'm not answering, it's, you know, I didn't hear. Okay, so, you know, the guy didn't spend very much time in the Bismedrash. So, okay, he only heard a little. No, I spent the maximum amount of time in the Bismedrash. If I didn't hear these things, it's because my Rebbeim never spoke about them, about these particular halachas that you're asking me. And therefore I can't say.
Also, doesn't
mean when
he has to
hear
so far out for...
That too, yeah.
So that... way going another way towards for some people that may not have been something they would do, but I went further in a lot of other areas. So
yeah. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer? No, we hadn't talked about that. Rabbi Eliezer forgot a halacha and Rabbi Akiva had to remind him of it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We
so
did have that.
What can he say here is
that... Oh, he's not saying that I never forget anything, but he's saying, Bederach Klal, you know, if put it this way, even then, Rabbi Akiva reminded him and he remembered, right? In this case, if they're asking him a question, it would have jogged his memory, you know, hey, my Rebbeim did one time talk about this. He's saying effectively, the fact that I spent so much time in the Bismedrash, if I never heard of it, it means they didn't talk about it. Ben Yayada says a little bit similarly that also, you know, he's saying, don't think just, you know, what's the use of asking this guy? He obviously doesn't know anything. No, you know, I do know a great deal because of the amount of time I spent in the Bismedrash, but what I know, and what I don't know, I'm not ashamed to admit that I don't know. I did see an interesting thing that because of this behavior of his, that he was always the first in and the last one out of the Bismedrash, his reward for that is that in the Mishnah, the very first halacha and very last halacha that I mentioned in the Mishnah in the name of an individual person are from Rabbi Eliezer. The first Mishnah in Brachas, name is Ikaron Ishmael Arvich, Ad Soif Ashmoro Shona Divir Rabbi Eliezer. And the third to last Mishnah in Uksin, the last Mishnah is things of Agadta, Shin Yud Olamos, Kli Masik Brachal Yisrael. So that's not halachas. The Mishnah before that is Machlokas Shammai Vesilah. The Shammai Vesilah are not individuals. It's a collection of Chachamim. The Mishnah before that has a din from Rabbi Eliezer. Amr Olav Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Now they said about Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, who was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. So therefore Rabbi Eliezer learned from him. And all his life he never talked casual talk. Rashi, by the way, defines sichas cholin as divrei havayu schoik, like words of nonsense or jokes or whatever. He never walked four amos without learning Torah and without wearing tefillin. Always, even as he's walking along, he's learning Torah. People need to come in for Sfarim. Not so bad. Nobody came ahead of him to the Bismedrash. He never slept in the Bismedrash, not a regular sleep and not a nap. Here's another one. This is new to Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, that he did not think words of Torah in alleys in alleys that are filthy, that have human waste in them, where you're not allowed to. Now this is, again, this is not really midas chassidus. You're not, the halacha is you're not allowed to think words of Torah in such places. But the special thing was, I mean, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, somebody who's constantly involved in Torah, it's like, you would think he might not have been able to control himself. We find there's a Gemara in Zvachim that mentions about Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that he was so partifed in learning Torah that even when he was in the bathroom, he couldn't hold himself back from speaking words of Torah, even though that's also. Because it was an onus, basically. So here, you might have, you know, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai might well have had the excuse, you know, I'm so constantly involved in Torah that I'm able to hold, that I'm not able to hold back my thoughts when I'm walking through such places. No, he was able to control himself. He never left anybody in the Mismedrash when he left. He was always the last one out. Nobody ever found him sitting there quietly. He was always sitting and learning Torah. Somebody says on this, I mean, isn't this the same thing as before? We said he always was learning Torah and wearing tefillin. This is even, for example, when he's by somebody else, when he's by a shear. he'd always be actually learning himself, not just sitting there and passively absorbing what the Magid Shir is saying, but actually, you know, saying the words and absorbing them himself.
To do that?
Maybe if you're able to, you know, and if it doesn't distract the Shir, I guess. But yeah, I mean, in principle, yes. We learned in Erevin that when a person learns Torah, it's not just supposed to be with their eyes. A person is supposed to speak the words of Torah when they're learning it. Arucha b'kol l'shmura. Torah is supposed to be in all your 248 Evarim in order for it to be mishtameres. Yeah. And another one, like pasach adam delos l'tamidim elahu ba'atzmai. Nobody ever opened the door for his tamidim, only him himself. Why? Tamar Shah says, because he didn't want the other Talmidim to have to open the door for each other, you know, because they might not, or whatever, they might have to be distracted from their learning, and he didn't want to have a watchman there to open the door, because, as you know from the famous story of Hillel, when there's a watchman at the door, then, you know, there may be rules about who's allowed in, who's not allowed in, and Rabbi Yechim and Zaka didn't want that to happen. So he headed the problem off at the pass by not having a Shomer there in the first place. He never said in his life anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. And he never said, it's time to stand up from the Beis Medrash, it's time to stop learning. Ella, except for Erev Pesach, and Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Pesach, because you have to get ready for Pesach. Rashi said two things. Number one, you have to bring the Korban Pesach. And even after the Korban, you have to have your kids take a nap so they can be up for the Seder. So therefore, he'd have the Talmidim leave early on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur getting rid of the Chametz you do in the morning already. You have to be rid of it by that time. And Erev Yom Kippur, because you have to eat the Suda. And this is what Rabbi Eliezer, his Talmud used to be knowing in these things after him, as we have the list of some of the things that Rabbi Eliezer himself said that he did. And therefore we see, so Rabbi Eliezer did see his Rebbe do these things, and therefore he followed suit, but he never actually heard from Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai in so many words, these are the proper Hanhagos. That's why he's saying that it's not something I heard from my Rebbe. It's something that I myself am following after him.
Covers saying that you should not bring a word of anyone unless the author did or in the name of the author.
That's a different thing. No, the one in Perek Vav that you're talking about, Kala Omer Dover B'Shem Omer, that's the other way around. That's when you're saying a vote of Torah, you should quote whose name it is. You shouldn't just say it anonymously. But that's that whole Perek, not most of that Perek, that particular thing over there in that particular member there in Perek Vav, Perkei Avos is anonymous. It doesn't say, it's just the list of Avor Meshmoina Dvarim is not listed in the name of any particular Tana. We learned a brisa. Shmoinim Talmidim Hoilel Hillel Hazaken. Hillel Hazaken. Now going back another generation, Hillel Hazaken had 80 Talmidim. Shloshim Mehen Royim Shetishale and Shchina Kamoshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were so great that they deserved to have the Shchina rest on them, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Some of them talk about that. Either it means, okay, they were roi to, but in practice they didn't, because the dur wasn't suitable for it. Or it doesn't mean like Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that they would have the same level of Asherah Sashchina. Of course not. Moshe is unique in that. But the same way as Moshe had a constant connection with Hashem, so they also. Another 30 of them were so great, they're not on Moshe's level, but they're on the level that they would be worthy to have the sun stand still for them, like Yeshua ben Nun. Esrim Beinanim, and then there were another 20 who were average. Godol Shabakul and Yonas and Benaziel, the greatest of them is Yonas and Benaziel. Rabbeinu Gershom on Baba Basra, where this Gemara is also brought, says that Brahem means of the 20 medium Talmidim, the 20 average Talmidim, the greatest of them was Yonas and Benaziel. Not of all. The other Mepharshim there on Baba Basra say that means out of all the 80, yeah. Katan Shabakul and Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, and the least of all of those Talmidim, or of the 20 Talmidim, was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. What about Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai? Omer all of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Shloihi niach, he did not leave. In other words, there's none of the following things that he did not leave aside and not learn. Mikra, Tanakh, or Mishnah, Gemara, Gemara doesn't necessarily mean, obviously, you know, the Gemara that we have in front of us. That was written by the Amoraim a couple hundred years. That comes from the Amoraim hundreds of years later. Rashi defined Gemara, or actually the original word of Talmud, really, as meaning the analysis, the words of the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah itself wasn't yet written in the form that we have it. It didn't have a fixed text yet in Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's times, but there were more or less fixed texts of different parts of the Mishnayos and Braises and all. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai learned those, and he also learned the Gemara, the Talmud, whatever, meaning the analysis of that, exactly what the Gemara does with our Mishnah. We analyze it. Which cases does this then apply? Which parts do we learn it from? And things like that. That's called Gemara. So Mishnah, basically, in modern terms, to put it in more modern terms, Mishnah would be the equivalent of like the Shulchan Aruch, the actual, you know, the actual halachas themselves, and Talmud or Gemara would be like when you learn the Noitz HaKelim, when you learn the analysis of it, the pilpul of it, yeah. So he learned all that. Halachas v'agadas, the halachas, meaning Rashi says the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and the agadta, dukduke Torah, the details of the Torah, for example, why the Torah has extra letters or words in different places, that we learn halachas from it. Rashi gives an example of one that we're going to have after the next Mishnah. That's dukduke Torah, the dukduke Sofrim, and the details of the Sofrim, meaning that the Chachamim figured out the various takanas that the Chachamim made. They realize that they need to make a siyag la Torah, that people are going to confuse this case with that case, for example, and therefore you need to make a gzera or a takana, that sort of thing. That's called the dukei sofrim, because Rashi says they're medactic in what people do. They have to analyze carefully, they have to consider carefully what are people doing, what are people likely to be confused on, and make appropriate takanas. Kalim v'chamurim, all the kavachomers, the gzeira shavas, and the gzeira shavas, tkufos, the tkufos, the cheshbon of how the sun and the moon move, the gematriyais. Rashi says the gematriyais means things that you learn out from, like, from atbash or other letter substitution, things like that, and Rashi gives some examples, or also dinim that you learn from gematria, from the gematria of words. Some of the other mepharshim also say that it includes partial mathematics. Sichas Malachi Asharis, the speech of the Malachi Asharis, the Sichas Shadim and the speech of the Shadim, the Sichas Dikolim and the speech of the palm trees. So Rashi says on those three, he doesn't know what they are. Other Mepharshim say the Sicha Malachi Asharis and Sichas Shadim means exactly what it sounds like. The Malachim talk with each other. The Shadim, like the language of the Malachim, the language of the Shadim. We know that, you know, you hear people who use Kabbalah Maisis, who use Kameis or whatever to you know, Mashbiani. I'm putting such and such a Malach or such and such a Shed under an oath that they should do such and such. So you have to know their language. You have to know their lingo in order to be able to do that. So he knew that stuff.
He could hear the Shadim.
Or he knew their language, and he knew how to talk with them, basically.
There is a story where he is he heard an angel speak saying one of these guys is going to really become a big Talmud Chacham.
You have a story where Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa heard a Baskal. That's probably what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
That was Rabbi Yochanan. That's Rabbi Yochanan and the Amora. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai the Tana. But yeah. As far as Sichas Dekolim, a number of Mepharshim bring an interesting thing that one of the Gaonim, I think Rabbi Gaon, writes, that Sichas Dekolim is, so literally, again, it means the speech of palm trees. If you go out on a day when there's absolutely no wind, when the air is completely still, you will still see some of the palm trees ruffling a little bit, like the leaves of them are ruffling, and somebody who's an expert on this kind of thing can know that they're actually speaking to each other and understand what they're saying. And he mentions one of the Gaonim, Rabbi Avraham Gaon, from about 1,200 years ago, who knew this kind of thing. He knew the Sichas Dekolim.
Wow.
Yeah.
But also there's Malachim talks about
Shlomo Malach, that he knew the speech of the trees, and so, right, so actually, so some Mepharshim explain in this set that it means in this sense over here also. It means, for example, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew about the speech about the trees, for example, you know, which tree, you know, what extract from what tree do you use for what kind of medicine or what have you. Yeah, some Mepharshim explain it that way. Mishalvis Kovsin, he knew Rechem and Zakkai learned all of the Mishalim, all of the parables involving the laundry man, Mishalvis Shualim, and all the parables involving foxes. We know throughout Shas and throughout the Midrashim, you have many times where they have, you know, the Chachamim will bring a mashal from some, you know, from foxes, you know, because apparently there were a lot of the popular mishalim that they use involved like common people like washer like laundry men or whatever. to illustrate deeper points in Torah. You know, it talks about Chassidus, the idea, for example, that when in Chassidus, when it describes how a Rebbe uses a mashal to teach his students, so it explains a lot of times that sometimes you'll have, you know, the Rebbe will think of a mashal to illustrate the idea, but even the mashal itself is too refined for his talmidim. So he needs a mashal to explain the mashal, and then a mashal to explain the mashal to explain the mashal, and so forth, and Chassidus in turn uses that as a mashal for the Seder Ishtalshlus, for how a Lakus comes down to us garbed in one mashal after another. So then the Talmud has to then go and unpack one mashal after another to get to the original thing. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about over here. Dover Godov and Dover Cotton. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai learned all of the great thing and the small thing. What is that? Dover Godov means Maisa Merkava. The great thing means the Maisa Merkava, the whole the deep secrets of the Merkava of the Eibishter that Yechezkel described. Bavakotin is Havayev Tabayev Rava. The small thing is all the discussions of Abayev Rava, the basis of our Gemara over here. Which means, so first of all, I mean, Abayev and Rava, 300-400 years after Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, how is he learning their Havayev? So Rashi says, very simple, all these kinds of things that Abayev and Rava had sefas about, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai knew in his times. He was able he knew the answers to these things that 300-400 years later they weren't sure about, and therefore they have to discuss pro and con and bring proofs and everything. He already knew all that stuff. And later on, these things were forgotten, and therefore Abaye and Rava had to reconstruct them. Some of the I think the Ma'arik points out that actually the reason why we're mentioning specifically Abaye and Rava, I mean, there's many Amiroyim in the Gemara, he says, because in the times of Abaye and Rava particularly is when they started assembling the Gemara into the form that we have it now, actually methodically going through all of the Mishnayos and Braises and figuring out which ones fit with each other, which ones contradict each other, how to reconcile them and all, which is, you know, the meat and potatoes of the Gemara that we have.
This also shows that Kabbalah is the highest level. I'm not saying that halacha is something that needs to be ignored, but just that.
So the Rambam actually writes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah after he describes the basics of Ma'aseh Merkava and of Ma'aseh Bereishis, he says, you know, I mean, it's true the Gemara calls Ma'aseh Merkava Dover Gadol and the Gemara Dover Katan, but after all, the Dover Katan is the more important thing to do first. The person has to fill themselves up with Gemara and Halacha before they start working on Kabbalah. The Rashba also has a brother. The Rashba has a very long thing that's brought in Ein Yaakov, that where he goes into a long arichos that there are people who misinterpreted this Gemara to say that the whole Gemara that we have, all of the discussions of halacha are davar katan, they're an unimportant thing. He says chas v'shalom, don't think that. They're davar katan relative to things that are greater than them, like ma'aseh merkava. They're still much greater than all the chachmas of all the goyim. Anyway, l'kayim mashanema, this is to fulfill what the pasuk says, l'hanchil oyav ha-yesh, that the Eibishter says to give an inheritance to my beloved ones of yesh, of a something, of substance, v'otzriseim amalei, and I will fill up their otzris, meaning, in other words, like, on one level it means, because you know, on one level it's showing, like even Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, who's the least of the Talmidim, is so full of substance and so full of oitzer, of Torah knowledge and l'habdil secular knowledge and all. And some of the Parashim actually say that what it means is because when a person like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai partips in Torah, then the Eibishter gives him as a gift the ability to also learn all the secular sciences from it also. Like we said, the Sichas, the Kalim and whatnot. So, v'chim a'acha shabakotin shabakulon kach, and you have to consider, if even the smallest of the Talmudim was like that, to Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, gadol shabakulon achas kamav kamav, you can imagine how great the greatest of the Talmudim was, which we said was Yonis and Menziel. Amru olav al Yonis and Menziel. So they said on Yonis and Menziel, b'shar sh'yoshev v'osik v'torah, when he would sit and learn Torah, kol osha pareach olav, any bird that would fly over him, miyad nisrach, would immediately be burnt up. Rashi says because the malachim would come to listen to him. So the Malachim are made of fire. Tosfos says because there was a fire there, like when the Torah was given. That's what it was like when Yonis and Menziel was learning Torah. There's the famous thing that they say Derech Tachos that ever once quoted in a Sicha that the difference between the way Chassid and a Misnagid learns the Gemara. A Chassid learns about Yonis and Menziel, that the fire that burnt up the bird and he's in the spoil of Yonis and Menziel's Kedusha. The Misnagid starts sitting and then clearing is Yonis and Menziel Chayiv Nezek, Nezek Sholem, Chati Nezek. That's the thing.
All of these Talmudim They just died.
No, this is the generation before that. Talmudim of Hillel. Hillel passed away about 60 years before the Churban, so 67 years before the Churban.
Yeah.
Incidentally, some Mephoshim ask, so in that case then, so what about Hillel himself, the Rebbe of all these Talmudim, what was he like then? And they give two answers, one based on the Yerushalmi, that yes, when Hillel was learning Torah, even more so, Yonson ben Aziel, if a bird flew within 4 hours of him, would get burnt up. Hillel even more than that. And then somebody else says, one of the Polish Rebbeim, I think, says a vote that on the contrary, the greatness of Hillel was that he knew how to contain his earth, that it wouldn't burn the birds around him. The Gemara mentions elsewhere. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived 120 years. He spent the first 40 years involved in business. You know, he learned Torah, but he was also involved in business. The second 40 years. He was a leader of the Jewish people, and he passed away a few years after the Churban. So yeah, it comes out. You're right. It comes out when Hillel passed away that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in his 50s or so. Yeah, he may well have been. I mean, he may well have been. And when you compare it to the other Talmudim around him, he may well have been the junior of them in age and saying also in knowledge. But again, you know, imagine you know, But again, you know, look at how much knowledge he had. After the Kesef Mishnah talks about the idea, we see the Gemara brings in Beisa a case where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mevatel a takana from a previous generation. Usually the rule is you need to be greater b'chachma over minyan. So the Kesef Mishnah and Hilchos Mamrim talk about that. That maybe when we're saying over here that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least of all Talmidim, doesn't mean or maybe even he's least in certain areas, you know, in maybe in some of these other areas, not in knowledge of Torah and some of these other things, the Mishalot Shualim and whatnot, you know, but in learning Torah, he would have had to be great in order to be the leader of the Jewish people and in order to have the authority to be able to be Mabasa or Takana before his time. Would you mind muting yourself? Because you know, we're hearing a lot of background noise from you. Mishnah says, somebody who has his head and most of his body in the sukkah and his table inside the house, which we talked about in the first parak, there's two possibilities. Either the sukkah is physically not big enough to hold the table, or the person just puts the table on the side instead of actually bringing it into the sukkah. Bishamai says it's possible, Bishamai says it's kosher. So in the case of a small sukkah, in other words, Bishamai would hold, the sukkah needs to be big enough to fit the table. And if it's a large sukkah, Bishamai holds, you still need to bring the sukkah into the table. Amr lahem b'tzila, the table into the sukkah, sorry. Thank you. Amr lahem b'tzila b'shamay, so b'tzila asked b'shamay, loika chayamayse, wasn't there once a story? Shahochu zikne b'shamay v'zikne b'tzila levakas Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, that the elders of b'shamay and b'tzila went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, umetza'uhu, and they found him, shoyi yoshev roshev rubu v'smakob v'shochana b'sechabayis, he was sitting like that, his head and most of his body in the sukkah, and a table inside the house, v'loi amr lai davar, and they didn't say anything to him. So obviously then, it must be okay. Amr lahem b'shamay, b'shamay answered them, b'shamay ra'ayah, you're trying to bring a proof from that? Afim amr lahem, on the contrary, they actually told him, if you've actually been doing like that all this time, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah mi'amecha, then in your whole life, you've never properly fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. Mephoshim discussed, did they actually mean to say that he wasn't keeping the mitzvah even midaraisa, or do we mean only midrabanan? Or maybe, we talked about Tosfos mentioned at the beginning of the sefer, maybe the possibility is, technically the requirement to have a table is only midrabanan, but the rabbanan, you have to keep the mitzvah daraisa the way that rabbanan tell you. So therefore, if the rabbanan tell you have to have your table in there, and you don't, then you're losing out the mitzvah daraisa because of the takanas chachamim. The Gemara, by the way, mentions elsewhere that from this Mishnah we see an example of Bet Hillel of how Bet Hillel were anovim noichim ba'alovim. The expression is that they would always quote Bet Shammai before themselves. Because we see even here they're just telling a story about people going and visiting Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharoni. They have no particular reason to mention one group before the other, but they still make a point of mentioning Zikne Bet Shammai and Zikne Bet Hillel in that order. Yeah. And that's why the Gemara says that's why they're zoicha, that the halacha is generally like them. Women and slaves, that is, and children are parted from the sukkah.